How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? This is Darrell Watson, and you listen to Ballin' on Film. So this is the podcast where I talk about NBA topics that I want to talk about and movies. Today, we're going to get into some of these NBA trade rumors that's going around the NBA. We're going to start off with Dennis Smith Jr. from Dallas Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks are looking to trade Dennis Smith Jr. Due to the rise of Luka Doncic. They're looking to build a team around Luka Doncic instead of Dennis Smith Jr., which they previously wanted to build a team around. They feel like Dennis Smith Jr. is not a good fit to play with Luka, so they're looking to move him. Teams who want to pick him up in the trade toss is Phoenix and Orlando, but Phoenix I think dropped out, so I think it just might be Orlando for now. But I'm quite sure some more teams will come forth and present some type of trade package. They also will include Wesley Matthews in that package, along with Dennis Smith Jr. So wherever he goes, Dennis Smith Jr. goes, both of them go together. Our personal take on it, looks like Dennis Smith Jr. likes to have the ball a lot, like he's ball dominant. It'd be nice for him to just go somewhere, but he can have his own team, and just build around him from that. If he goes somewhere, they trade him and they not really do anything other than that. He's just gonna be one of those NBA stars, but not all star. You know, like they did James Harden, like Oklahoma did James Harden. Remember? James Harden was the number one guy off the bench for Oklahoma in his early days. And until he just went down to Houston, he got his own team. You know, he's been exploding ever since. He's still a work in progress, but he's a all-star, you know. So if they could put Dennis Smith Jr. in a similar situation like that, I feel like it'll be great. I feel like he'll do great. Build a team around him. That'd be awesome. But we'll see, man. I'm quite sure more teams will come forth and present a trade package and see where it goes from there. So another trade news, we also have the Sacramento Kings are interested in they're interested in Jeremy Lin from the Atlanta Hawks. They're interested in him. We'll see how that plays out. And then also you got Enes Kanter from the Knicks and Zach Randolph from Sacramento Kings. They're talking about swapping them two. Since both of them are about to have expiring contracts. So we'll see how that plays out as well. And also for those who don't know, Corey Brewer, the veteran, he signed a 10-day contract with the Philadelphia 76ers, so he's playing with them right now. So we see how good that goes. Maybe he'll get enough to get signed on the rest of the year. So maybe he'll do good enough, you know. Who knows? And also, what else I have? Let's see. Philadelphia is also interested in bringing on Noah Vonleh. I can't pronounce his name. Excuse me if I'm pronouncing the name wrong. He plays with the Knicks, I believe, but he was a 2014 Charlotte Hornets ninth pick in the first round. He averages about 8 points, 8 rebounds a game. He's about 41% from the three. Sounds like a solid move. If they ever want to rest, if they ever want to play him at center, if Joel Embiid needs a sub or whoever else the power forward is over there, I forgot. Could be Ben Simmons. I know Ben Simmons can play multiple positions. But yeah, it seems like a good move. So that's still in the talks of that. For those that don't know, Golden State just beat New Orleans tonight. New Orleans almost had the game, but they let it slip away from them. This is the main reason why I feel like Anthony Davis needs to go elsewhere where he has better talented players around him so he can really... I just feel like he's long overdue, man. He needs a great team around him, you know. It's too much talent. He's still in his prime, so it's good. But I just don't want to end up being like Kevin Garnett, man. And no diss to Kevin Garnett. I was a Kevin Garnett fan. Only thing I'm saying is Kevin Garnett really wanted to bring a championship to Minnesota. But he really didn't have the team to do it, you know. They gave him a few good players here and there. You know, I think out of his career before he went to Boston, his career with Minnesota back then, I think he was only playing with maybe a handful of good players, you know. And all of them wasn't on them. All of them didn't play in the same season, you know. You might have had Stephen Marbury 1 year. Then you had maybe Sam Cassell or Trail Sprewell the other year. You know, it was just a lot, man. You know, I just felt like he spent the time just trying to stay committed and trying to be loyal to the organization, which was good to him probably, but it's like they didn't really give him enough help or the right amount of help to put around him to compete for a championship. So, with that being said, he fell short, but he stayed so long that it was almost the door was closing on him, you know, until he finally traded to Boston, you know, and him, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen hooked up, formed a big three, you know. But other than that, I just don't want to see Anthony Davis go down that same road, you know. I like Anthony Davis to get out while he's young and use his talent and be on a good, talented team so he can get him a nice championship. So that's how I feel about that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. of course, Golden State is back on top. They beat Denver last night before they played the Pelicans tonight to secure the first place seed in the West. So they're back on top. So kudos to them, man. Golden State is just rolling right now. So anybody in the way, they're just getting ran over. In other news, you had Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose just entered the 10,000 point club. So that's a good thing, man. You know, I'm always, for those of you that already know, I'm a Derrick Rose fan. So I was ecstatic when I heard that, especially through all the trials and tribulations that he's been through in the past year. So that's very good news for that. Even though they lost last night, but that was good news to hear. LeBron James could return to LA Lakers practice earliest next week, but the trainers and everybody that's working with him saying, hey, you know, we're taking our time with him, not listening to he say she say stuff. When we feel like he's ready, he feels like he's ready, that's when he'll come back. So I like the supportive team that he has around him. They're real concerned and consistent, and they're not letting anybody rush him back when he's not ready to. So that's a good thing. My topic that I also have for today is everybody knows James Harden has been putting up big numbers. Been putting up big numbers all season. And the isolation game is sickening. Like, you can't guard him, you know. He can get you out on isolation one-on-one, and it's just like, it's just a matter of time before he rock you to sleep. He's either going around you with the Euro step, landing up with the left hand, or he's doing the step back three, which I feel like he's incorporated a lot this year. It's more fluent, it's more quicker this year. Like the step back three is the new thing. I feel like I don't know, I've seen him do it in the past, but he's doing it a lot this year. He's really incorporated that part of his, that part into his game really well. The step back three is, it's what's in now, for real, because that, it's so automatic when every time he does it, man, it's just phenomenal, man. But I'm talking about those plays where James Harden really really shows his stuff too. It's when he has those plays where PJ Tucker, amongst other guys, but especially PJ Tucker being one of them, PJ Tucker always sets some good screens or a good pick, and Harden plays off that, and he ends up getting the shot up. Like, I give you guys an example. Some games back where they played Golden State, and Harden hit that shot for the win. Everybody was so busy looking at Harden, but everybody forgot about PJ Tucker, or they wasn't even paying attention. I give you the whole rundown, right? Harden gets the ball. Klay Thompson is on Harden, right? So PJ Tucker right there at the top of the key. PJ sets the pick, which frees Harden up from Klay Thompson. And now Draymond Green has to step up. But Draymond Green isn't fast enough. He gets there a little bit late. And Harden already, the shot already going up. You know, and it's in. And that's game. PJ Tucker helped Harden get the all his rebounds. I think he reached some type of milestone with the rebounds. The other game, I mean, PJ Tucker does a lot of underdog stuff, dirty stuff. Not dirty stuff, but he does all the intangibles. He does all the small stuff that everybody seems to overlook, you know, and not really pay too much attention to. Like the pick, that extra pick or that extra pass. PJ Tucker is a great necessity to that ball club. And I feel like with Harden, it just makes it even better. And also, even though Harden doesn't need the pick and the screen, but PJ Tucker is right there, you know. And I like the camaraderie and the communication that they got between one another. So, with that being said, that was my rundown of all the NBA action that's going on. Be looking out for the NBA trades in the next few weeks, see who's going where. Also, I'm going to do another podcast about Carmelo Anthony. Like, where is he? Is he at home chilling, or is he working? Is he out just working, waiting for that next call to come? Or, you know, we'll get into it. So, until then, everybody be safe. God bless. This is Ball on Films with Darrell Wallace.